to read from Scripture, Psalm 113. Text this morning is that last verse, "He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." Beloved, the behavior of the believer in the home is closely tied to the sacrament of baptism. In the sacrament of baptism, we not only see what God has done for us in Jesus Christ in the forgiveness of our sins and in the giving to us of the Holy Spirit as the new life that fills us, but in the sacrament of baptism, there is also a vow and a pledge made both by the parents who bring their child to be baptized and by the child who is baptized. The parents are placed under an obligation to live as godly parents in their home and in their behavior towards the child. The child is placed under an obligation towards God and in his behavior towards his godly parents. This morning, in connection with baptism, we're going to look at Psalm 113, verse 9, under the theme, Joyful Mothers. And I hope to follow this sermon in some coming baptisms with a few other sermons on the Christian home. Joyful Mothers. Let's notice three things: the startling reality, in the second place, the biblical reasons, and finally, the implied calling. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Mothers, perhaps when you hear those words, joyful mother of children, you react. React maybe with some cynicism. Yeah, right, it's not that way. Or with some guilt. You look at your life as a mother and you say, I hardly call myself a joyful mother. You look at the realities of your family life, of what goes on in your home behind closed doors. Maybe there's some joy. Maybe you smile once in a while. Maybe there are some brighter moments when a child's face comes through, some light moments of humor, but for the most part, being a mother is grief and difficulty and toil and hard labor. Think of a mother with young children. Seems like she just got married yesterday. And now she has three or four preschoolers whom she has to take care of. And she's busy with them day in and day out. And yes, there's a routine to her life, but it's the same burden day after day. And now she's expecting again. Motherhood. How shall we describe motherhood? There is no other task and no other calling that God gives on the earth like motherhood. It's a long term, a lifelong commitment to being a servant full time to others. A servant. On the one hand, the mother is always giving herself again and again for the same needs of others and to the same people. And on the other hand, there is for the mother a certain bondage to this calling. There's no easy way for her to get out from this calling. Motherhood is the most demanding of all occupations. It demands all of my time, all of my energies, and an extreme amount of skills. The mother goes from cleaning the house and doing the laundry, to being the organizer of daily activities for the family, to studying books, to teaching the children, to preparing meals, to counseling her husband and the teenagers. to being a nurse, the family accountant, dietitian, an entertainer of guests, and so it goes on. And it is, of all tasks, the most thankless of tasks. Who understands? Who knows what a mother does in a day, in a week? Who can calculate the hours of work that she puts in? Who knows the struggles and pains of a woman's soul? Who knows the emotional difficulties that she goes through month after month and year after year? Who can put a price tag on what she does? Who ever gives her the praise and thanks of which she is worthy? Joyful mothers? The world looks at this and it says, the woman must be liberated from such oppression. She must be saved from a male-dominated society. She must be given an equal role and place in leadership and in the church and in the home and in society. The world scoffs at motherhood. It says, you are what? A homemaker? A mother in the home? You spend your time giving birth to children and raising children and doing chores in the home. How menial, how degrading, how insignificant, how uninfluential you are as a mother. And it says to its women, get out there and be someone. Take on the world of men. Become someone in this society. Be an influential CEO, a lawyer, a judge. Get into politics. Get into church office. Be somebody in this world. And it says to our mothers and to the homemakers, your life is miserable. Get out from under that bondage and that misery. Find some true joy in life and some fulfillment in this world. And it says of motherhood, as the Bible outlines motherhood, that's wrong. You don't need to be married to be a mother. You don't need to be a homemaker to be a mother. Get out and be somebody. Joyful mothers. It isn't only the world that's tempted to question such a phrase from Scripture, but it's the Christian mother, the believing mother in the church that questions such a phrase too. Joyful mothers, that's idealistic. That's not reality. You come and live my life for a little while. Live in my home. Do the things that I have to do. Listen to my children. Submit yourself to the will of my husband for a little while, and you'll see that there isn't much joy in being a mother. Mothers, ladies in the church, God's Word says here, the joyful mother of children. That's a reality. There is joy in being a mother of children. Joy even in the sin-cursed world in which we live, in which God says to the woman, in sorrow thou shalt conceive and bring forth children. Joy even in the most difficult of circumstances for a mother, a child disabled with terrible learning disabilities who requires immense amounts of your time. A child who's a rebel, a sleepless night, a series of sleepless nights. There is joy for the believing mother. That's God's Word. That's God's promise in this passage. The Scriptures give us examples of joyful mothers right from the first mother, Eve. Especially when Seth is born, whom she said she received from God as a replacement for Abel. Sarah, Abraham's wife, sung, God has made me to be joyful, and all that hear me will laugh with me. And you remember a Rachel and a Hannah and a Mary and an Elizabeth and many others in the Scripture who with joy took on the task of being mothers. What is the joy of motherhood? The joy of motherhood is not a happy, clappy, emotionally buoyant, bubbly temperament. Yes, that joy may be displayed and ought to be displayed in happiness, outward happiness. But the joy of motherhood is an inner contentment and happiness and peace in the calling that I have that permeates all I am and all that I do and my attitude towards my calling. This joy motivates me to live as I should as a mother. This joy shows itself in my behavior in the home towards my children and my husband, in my love for them, in my care of them. It shows itself in a willingness to be all that a mother must be, a servant, a woman of extreme gifts who gives herself day in and day out. This inner peace and joy that a mother has in being a mother is not based, first of all, on the outward circumstances of her life. She doesn't look at a great big pile of laundry that she has to do and jump for joy because, yes, she has to be a mother again and take care of the laundry. This isn't a joy based on the circumstances of my life. It's not based either on my feelings about a particular situation, but the joy that a mother has is based on the promises of the Word of God and a woman's faith in those promises. You see, it's a believing woman, a woman who lives by faith that finds true joy in motherhood. God's Word makes a promise here, joyful mothers. And she believes that promise of God. I'm not saying, and God's Word doesn't say that either, that all the rewards and all the joys of motherhood are future, and that in faith she clings only to what's coming in the future, and that there are no present rewards in being a mother. No, there are daily rewards in being a mother, and a mother must find them and must rejoice in them too. But the principle is that the joyful mother is a woman who lives by faith in the promise and the promises of the Word of God. Then when there's no rewards at all, then when it all seems drudgery, she's able to find joy in her calling and in the promise of God's Word. Mothers, you go on in faith. Who are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? God's Word, which says, joyful mothers? Or the philosophies of the world about motherhood? The philosophies and teaching of the world about fulfillment and joy and happiness for a woman? We live by faith in the Word of God. There's joy for a woman in motherhood, and that joy comes through believing God's Word. Now, what is it that a woman can find in the Word of God which can be the object of her faith in her calling as a mother and which can bring her joy in her calling as a mother? What are the reasons for a woman to find joy in being a mother? First, this. It is God's will laid down in Scripture for the woman that she be a mother and a homemaker. And the believing child of God, the believing woman, finds joy in obeying the will of God for her life. She says with the psalmist, "I delight to do thy will, O God." It is God's will for a woman that she keep house and that she be a mother of children. You see that right here in Psalm 113, verse 9. Take the skeleton of the verse. That is, the pronoun, the adjective, and the verb, and the objects. What does it say? The skeleton. He maketh the woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. That's God's will for the woman, to keep house and to be a mother of children. When we go to the New Testament, we find verses that repeat what is said here in Psalm 113. In Titus 2, verses 4 and 5, we read this: "Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." In 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, we read, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." Now, in those two New Testament passages, the two main ideas of this verse are repeated: that the woman be a keeper at home, and that the woman be a mother of children. She shall be saved in childbearing. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, the apostle is asking or answering the question of the woman's role in the life of the church. What is her role? Should she hold office in the church? Should she be one who teaches in the church? And the apostle says, by the Holy Spirit, "I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority, but let them learn in silence." And then this: she shall be saved in childbearing. Titus 2, let the young women learn to be keepers at home, homemakers. That's God's will for the believing mother. She's called to be a mother of children. That's physical, first of all. That if God gives her a husband and God gives her the ability to bring forth children, that she will bring forth children. But it's not only physical, and that's the point of the text when it says that he makes her to be a woman who keeps house and a joyful mother of children. There's a whole lot more in being a mother than just physically bringing forth the children and then, as a mother, handing those children over to some daycare provider while you go off and make a name of yourself in the earth. No, the woman's calling, according to Scripture, is that she keep house, that she be a keeper at home with those children. That means that she will spend her time, devote herself to the rearing of those children, to making the house a home, to doing all the things that we outlined that are part of motherhood. She has a duty, once the children are born, to be a mother and a homemaker for those children. That's God's word That's God's will for the woman. And that, first of all, is the reason that a woman finds joy in being a mother. As a child of God, she loves to keep the commandments of God. If she's disobedient to that will, that will breed in her life guilt, and that will breed unhappiness in her life. The woman who refuses to be married and to bring forth children simply because she wants to be liberated from what she sees to be a male-dominated society, because she wants to be somebody in this world and take on the world and get a name for herself, that woman will never find the joy that is put here in the passage, because she's disobedient to God. The woman who refuses to give birth to children, the mother who refuses to stay at home with her children, will never find joy in being a mother, because she's being disobedient to the will of God. In obedience, in doing what God has laid down for the woman, for the mother will find this joy. You are a joyful mother. You are a mother who finds joy first because you are obedient to God's will. But another reason for joy in being a mother is that this is the God-ordained way of salvation for the woman. 1 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, "She shall be saved in childbearing." What does the apostle mean when he says, under the inspiration of the Spirit, the woman shall be saved in childbearing? When the apostle speaks of salvation in 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, he doesn't mean first, or he's not talking first of all about the salvation which is the forgiveness of sin. The woman doesn't do some kind of penance by going through the duties of being a mother and in that way satisfy her God's just requirements and make payment for her sin. No, it isn't penance to be a mother, it's obedience. What does the apostle mean? She shall be saved in childbearing. Means this, that this is the pathway through life which God has determined for the mother, which will lead her, which will bring her to glory. For each of us, there's a pathway to glory. That pathway to glory includes all the responsibilities and all the obligations that God has put on us in a particular station that we have in life. That might be a station in the home, that might be our role in the church, that might be our role in society and the job that God has given to us. The pathway that I must walk is one of being a minister of the gospel and a father. The pathway that God gives to another is that he be a painter, another that he be an accountant. And it's in faithfulness in that pathway and obedience to God in that pathway that a man walks on the road that leads to glory and final salvation. Now God says to the woman, and God says this to the married woman with children especially, the pathway that you are to walk, which will lead to glory, is of being a mother, a keeper at home, and one who brings forth children. That means that we understand our calling, mothers, as an act of God's mercy and grace, something that He, out of His grace, has given us to do. This is my pathway to glory. And so it's a privilege to live in it. God didn't come to Eve after she had fallen into sin and say to her, Eve, in sorrow thou shalt conceive and bring forth children, and then leave it at that. God didn't come to Eve and curse her by saying, Eve, I'm going to take this away from you now. You will never bring forth children. But God came to Eve and He said, in sorrow you shall bring forth children, but the children that you bring forth will be the victory in the end that overcomes sin and the curse. There will be sweetness. There will be salvation for you, even in the curse that I bring on you. This is God's way for you to glory. And this is closely connected to the third reason that a woman finds joy in motherhood. It has to do with the future of the church. In being a mother, in bearing and rearing children, the woman lives by faith in the promise of God to save the church by Jesus Christ. That was true for Eve. In Genesis 3, verse 15, thy seed shall crush the head of the serpent. Believing that promise, Eve brought forth children. Believing that promise, all of the women of the Old Testament brought forth children because they knew that out of their wombs and out of their children would come the salvation of the church in the Savior Jesus Christ. Christ, our salvation, came through their bringing forth children. And really, it is no different in the New Testament. Not now that Christ comes from our womb, but who is it that comes from the womb of the believing mother? The body of Christ, the church, and the woman in bringing forth children plays an important role in the salvation of the church. Not until every last one of the elect children have been born, and not until every one of them has been called into the church and body of Jesus Christ, will Christ come again and take His church to its final salvation and glory. That makes the mother's calling to bear children and to rear children a very important calling. It's the only calling that has lasting, enduring results. Working in an office, accomplishing great things in the world of business, even becoming the President of the United States of America as a woman, those things will not last. They will fall away. But this will last. This will serve the eternal salvation of the church, that you brought forth another covenant child who has a place in the final body of Jesus Christ. This will overcome the kingdom of Satan, that you brought forth a child and equipped that child with the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, to overcome the kingdoms of darkness. This will stand in heaven as an everlasting testimony for a woman that she brought forth in sorrow and in pain a covenant child, that she gave herself to the care and the instruction of that child, that those children learned the name of Jesus and confessed Jesus because of mother's instruction. You see how important mothers are? You see what role they play? The reasons for joy in motherhood? understanding this will give the woman a desire to bring forth children, not only the desire of the barren woman in the text here, but it will give the godly mother a desire as well to give herself to those children in the home. Those two desires will mean pain and will mean sacrifice for the woman. But they will mean joy. Because Christian joy and the believer's joy, and this is a principle of Scripture, Christian joy comes only in the way of our sacrifice and in the way of pain. That's true in every situation. Joy in marriage comes through sacrificing self for the sake of the other. Joy in the workplace comes through diligent hard labor, giving myself, laboring as unto the Lord. Joy in the home for children comes in their giving up their own will for the will of their parents. And now joy for the Christian mother comes through pain, through some sacrifice in being a mother. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. There's the way to joy. That woman knows liberty. That woman knows what it is to be liberated. Not from social pressures, not from social bondage, but she's liberated now, and she knows the liberty of salvation, of forgiveness of sins in the way of her obedience. Parents, this is something you must teach your children. Teach your daughters that this is the ordinary calling for a woman, and this what they must seek to be in life. This is the way of salvation for them. Teach your sons that this is the kind of woman that they must look for to be their wives. Husbands, has God given you a woman like this? A homemaker? One who bears children joyfully? When was the last time you verbalized your praise, your encouragement, your thanks to her? Children, teenagers, you have mothers like this? I know you do. When was the last time you did something about it? Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Her children, her husband, the rest of the church, the rest of the home, call her blessed. Women, mothers, you are a blessing to the church. One of the great temptations of a mother is that she doubts this about herself. The danger is that a mother looks at the high calling of being a mother laid out in Scripture and she says, I don't measure up to that high calling. She looks at her shortcomings and she says, I'm a failure. I can't do it. I can't be a mother. This is what happens. The mother has had a busy day, starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, getting breakfast, packing lunch, getting the supplies together for the children and her husband before they leave the house. She spent the morning straightening up the house, and the house was a disaster. She put the children down for naps and gotten busy with some other things in the home, cleaning out the garage and it was her husband's mess. She's run to the grocery store. She's taken the children to a park. She's heard them all day long. And then finally the children come home from school, the other ones, and her husband from work, and she has to hear them as well while she's getting supper ready. Supper's done. Her husband's gone. And she's busy doing homework with the children, reading to the children, bathing the children, getting them ready for bed, putting them down. And finally at 11 p.m., exhausted, she stops. And she looks at all she's done in the day and she sees her failings. She snapped at her daughter. She didn't have time to color with her son or even to look at the picture he colored. She snapped at her husband. And she says, I'm a failure. I'm not a good mother. I can't do it. She becomes anxious and depressed. Mothers, fold your hands at the end of the day. Confess your sin. And He's faithful and just. And He forgives your sin. God doesn't spend the night loading you with guilt because of your sin. But He gives you a night of peaceful rest so that you can start new in the morning. And God says in Philippians 4, verse 8, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You are a blessing. Trust God. He uses weakest means to fulfill His will, mighty enemies to still. Be a joyful mother, giving thanks for your gifts, for your work, for the blessings in the home. He maketh the barren woman to keep house. This text speaks as well to women in the congregation who have a strong desire to enjoy the blessing of being a mother. Married women who cannot bear children. Single women who wait for a husband and wait to be mothers. To you, God's Word says first that you are right to desire motherhood. It's God's will, ordinarily, for the woman. And for you to desire it is obedience to His will. And He gives joy in obedience. But God's Word also says, trust Me as the giver of life. I don't know your pain. Not many others here know your pain. But this is the point of the text. God knows your pain. The text doesn't say He maketh the barren woman to be a keeper at home and a mother of children, because God does that in every case. But the text says that so that we can understand that God is a God of compassion. As it says earlier in the verse, He humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the earth. He knows our pain. Trust Him. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy. In some way, He's showing His compassion His mercy to you in this affliction. Trust Him, because He's the giver of life. That's the point in the text as well. There's a lot that medicine can do to help, but medicine doesn't do it. And women find that out. In the end, He makes the barren woman to be a mother of children. God makes it happen. God withholds a woman from conceiving. God brings a husband. God keeps you single. And He's the God of mercy, the God of compassion, the one who does all things well. Trust Him. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for mothers. We thank Thee for their work. We thank Thee for their desire and their willingness to bring forth the children of the covenant, to give themselves to their good instruction. We pray that Thou wilt give them joy and equip them for this work. And may we all learn to have an appreciation for them. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.